We start hour number two. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Next segment, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Terry Stotts, Robert Klemko, top of hour number three. And again, my thanks to Cruz Pedregon. You know, over the years, we've had athletes that know the show, like the show. Over the years, we've had athletes who know the show, hate the show. But Cruz, I got to tell you, I put him right alongside Steve Elkington as just diehard, hardcore, jungle, not only jungle contributors, but people the clones love. And guys who respect the show, guys who show up a certain way for the show, guys who represent the show, wear the show on their sleeve. Elk has been that guy literally for decades. And Cruz has come on in recent years, too. I mean, for Cruz to designate a spot on his car for the Smack-Off winner is so awesome. Even if Brad and Corona said something to the effect, yeah, great, Cruz. Thanks a hell of a lot, Cruz. And they're going to see that for how long? 3 seconds in your race? Kind of beside the point.
Hey,
pretty funny.
Shout out to Cruz Pedregon for volunteering to put the Smack-Off winner's name on his race car for one race. Cruz, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but dude, this ain't the Indy 500, man. You race NHRA drag cars that last for like 5 seconds. The only thing quicker than that with less publicity would be if Vic in NoCal volunteers to shout out the winner's name the next time he has sex. Brad, Brady Corona!
The B-I-C. So my thanks to Cruz. Check him out this weekend. I would be there 100%. I would be there if I were not in New York for the NFL and CBS. But Cruz reminded me they'll be back in February. So if I can hit that after Super Bowl, I'm definitely about that. But go on out. Hawk will be out there. He's taking Ross with him. You SoCal should go out there. It's a great fan experience. All right. Meantime, big story this morning. Apparently, Dez Bryant's found himself a gig, and he's going to sign with the Saints. Now, remember, Dez has been looking for work. Dez reportedly turned down 3 years at $7 million per with Baltimore. Looked like one of the worst decisions ever by an athlete. So he's sitting around, waiting around, looking for an opportunity, and now he finally gets one. Not at $7 million per and not for 3 years, but he gets an opportunity. You know, if I were Dez, I'd be thrilled. This is the best opportunity this guy could get. Going to a team that's red hot, playing as well as anybody in the NFC, and just as importantly, going to a team that has Drew Brees as quarterback, going to a team that's got an unbelievable wide receiver on the other side, going to a team that's got a head coach in Sean Payton. This is a great opportunity for Dez to show that he still has something left, that he still can get it done. If Dez can't get it done playing with Drew Brees and playing for Sean Payton, then this guy's not going to get it done, period. He's got nothing left. So that's a great opportunity. In fact, one that I really didn't think that he was going to get. For him to turn down that 3-year deal with the Ravens and then to go to Cleveland and walk away without accepting a contract, it looked like that might be it. Then he wanted to go back to Dallas, and Dallas wanted nothing to do with him. It looked like he overplayed his hand, played it badly, but now somehow, some way, this guy gets a shot to play for a contender. So, Dez, get off of social, get off of Twitter, get to work, do the work. Again, if you can't make it work with Drew and Sean Payton, it's not going to work anywhere, and you will never get another opportunity. Man, this dude is lucky, and maybe he can help him. Maybe he can help him. So we know what's going to happen to Dez. We don't know what's going to happen to Le'Veon Bell. Now, remember, he lit NFL Twitter on fire when he tweeted, "Farewell, Miami." Everybody wondered after that tweet what was going to happen next. Was he going to report? Was he just stalling? Was he even going to tell the Steelers what was going on, considering he didn't do that before he thumbed out that tweet? Well, here's something that nobody saw coming. Lev was already suiting up, and he was already doing it in Pittsburgh. Man, this is a pretty mysterious cat. Already suiting up, already doing it in Pittsburgh, but it was for the afternoon 5-on-5 run at the LA Fitness. That's right. Lev set Twitter afire once again, only this time it was because photos started to fly out of a local gym where he was spotted playing basketball, pick up hoops. So we're officially at the part of the Le'Veon Bell saga where this dude's teammates are not Big Ben or Juju or AB. Nope. He's playing make it, take it with a bunch of scrubs trying to get a sweat in before they go back and finish their workday. Great. What's next? Showing up at a spin class, getting a ride in the morning? Is he going to drop by the local CrossFit gym and do some mediocre burpees or swinging pull-ups? Is this dude so desperate to find a workout that he's going to roll into some high school weight room and try to work on his buys and his tries? All that's left now is trying to figure out what kind of a stat line this guy put up on the LA Fitness Hardcourt. Was his jumper falling? Was it wet? How was his cardio? Did he distribute the rock? And did James Conner show up this morning at the local 24-hour fitness, score the same amount of points, get a couple of more rebounds, and do it in half the time for a fraction of the cost without any of the drama? So I think right now it's fair to ask, is this all worth it? Is it all worth it? I mean, sure, Le'Veon saved some wear and tear on his body this year, but are prospective teams going to see it that way? Are prospective teams going to look at Bell and say he's a better player for having not played this year, for not bringing the usage rate up any higher? Are prospective teams going to look at him and think he's better and he's fresher, or are they going to look at him and say he's just a year older? And, by the way, it may all be for naught if the Steelers do him the same way and they tag him again, and they might be able to. If that's the case, and he's back in the exact same spot that he was with them anyway, what's the point of this? This dude's out there running with some randos in an LA Fitness, while James Conner is out there running with his Steeler teammates and killing it. And frankly, Pittsburgh really has not missed Le'Veon much at all. I don't want somebody telling me what to do with my money. So I'm not going to tell Bell what to do with his money. If he wants to light his money on fire every single week, you go right ahead. But I will ask this. I will ask whether or not he's going to get the money that he thinks he's worth. Whether or not he's going to get the money he's asking for next year. Whether or not the holdout was worth it and it's going to pay off. I'm not sure it will. I'm not sure it is. I mean, it's sort of funny, I guess, that instead of taking a run at a Super Bowl with Ben, AB, and the fellas, that he's out getting a run in with Tim from accounting and that hairy, sweaty dude that nobody wants to guard in the low block. Except it's not going to be that funny if Lev is swimming laps with the seniors and setting personal bests in the backstroke next week. And this holdout is still going on, and then he's got nothing to show for it. Once again, your career, your money, but your teammates are doing their jobs and making actual money while you're screwing around in an LA Fitness for free. And they may not need you. They certainly haven't missed you. So how's it going to play out? I don't know. I just hope it ends soon. He's getting his money's worth, though, isn't he? I can't wait to see where he shows up tomorrow and what tweet he thumbs out. 1-800-636-8686. Remember, Wednesday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. You want to submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Don't tweet it at me. Don't email it to me. Go to that address. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. He's Batman. If you're not watching on TV, you probably wonder what that is. I don't want to forget that. Sometimes a lot of you only listen but never watch it. When you hear the Batman theme, it's because Keith Arnold is in studio and he's Batman. Somebody had some whack, crazy tweet or email about Keith having pepperoni nips.
That's whack.
And looking like Val Kilmer in a Batman suit. That's why he's now Batman.
I'm Batman.
Whatever, bro. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, wonder if Bell ran into that guy who blocked Jay Stew in a pickup game. Hashtag man's game, bitch. It's a classic jungle story. Do I reset that myself
man's
quickly?
Man's game, bitch.
Jay Stew, longtime jungle staffer Jason Stewart was in a local run. Jay Stew's maybe 5'10", 5'11", maybe, maybe. So Jay Stew is in a local run, and there's some ringer in this run. And this guy's just up and down, like 90-inch vert, jumping out of the gym, probably a former D1 player, And it's like Stu and eight other guys like Stu. And this guy swatted Stu badly, like in the 30th row. Came down, I mean, literally, like, hit his head on the ceiling, this guy. Swats Stu, like Tree Rollins, into the 30th row and looks at him and says, "Man's game, bitch."
Man's game, bitch.
And like I said, Stu is like a staffer on a sports talk radio program who's maybe 5'10 or 5'11, maybe. And this guy's just talking junk. Speaking of which, Gary Payton, the best junk runner ever, is going to be my Jim Rohn podcast guest. Hey, I can't wait to run down the glove. You know, if you're Gary Payton, sure. This guy probably was a former D1er running with a bunch of scrubs, dominating. And hit Stu with that, quote, "Man's game, bitch."
Man's game, bitch.
Dear Jim, same question crew answered, but for you. Is one of your crew members' asses getting gassed for that mechanical failure with the phone lines? Thanks, Brett from Bugaha. If I fired a crew member every time something like that happened, it would be me and Alvin.
Dude,
no, I really don't know what. Even better than that, a little inside baseball for you. Even better than me going to the phones multiple times and not having anybody there is I did the one thing I never do. I held a guest over for an extra segment for the phone calls, and the callers were not there. So if somebody was going to get gassed, it would be for that. But we rallied. And then this one's directed at Hawk. Dear Hawk, if you're looking for a new space to rent, I've got a lovely location that just opened up next door to me. The cars rumbling on the overpass provide a nice white noise to put you to sleep at night. The burn barrel provides a quaint and cozy warm feel. And the cardboard box master bedroom has space for both newspaper, blankets, and a spot to lay your knapsack. Contact me in my GoFundMe page for further details. Regards, Ira. Signed, Geoff in Lincoln. Warhawk paying Ira rent in the form of aluminum cars. Hawk somehow got over. He beat back the man. He beat City Hall. Really quickly, Hawk moved into his dream apartment. He's got a commute of maybe 60 seconds to work. He was all hyped up on it until a bunch of cockroaches started falling out of the ceiling. And then he was bent. And then he was freaking out. And then he tried to get out of the lease. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Signed contract. A contract is a contract. You can live here. And Hawk took it upon himself. He's got a young child. He's got another one on the way. Wife was not happy about it. He manned the hell up. He went to war with City Hall. He got out of the contract. Great job, Hawk. Freaking Adam Balboa. One problem, Rocky. You got 29 days to find a new place to live. A place where there aren't roaches. Nice job, Rocky Hawk. You did it. Good job. Good effort.
Good job. Good effort.
When we come back, Terry Stotts, Portland Trailblazers head coach, is my guest. Listen, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky shirt. I mean, you may think that it makes you look casual, but I think there's this misnomer. You think that you have a button-down shirt, you can just untuck it. You can't. There are shirts that were made to be untucked. Untuck It knows this. They make shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. You can't just buy a shirt and untuck it. These are casual shirts that are not too long, but not too short. They're just right. They're designed so well that even GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship, attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 for 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It at one of their over 35 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20. Get 20% off. Untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Back at it. We're talking Portland Trail Blazer basketball right now. We're joined by the head coach of the Trail Blazers. He is in his seventh season in that capacity. He has led the Blazers to the postseason in five straight years. Portland out quickly. They're 8-3. They're in second in the Northwest Division. They're hosting the Clippers tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Terry Stotts is my guest. Terry, it's great to have you back on. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing so well. Great to have you back, Terry. Thank you. You're coming off a win last night over a very good Milwaukee team. In fact, a 15-point win. Going into last night, Terry, C.J. McCollum wasn't necessarily shooting the way that he would have liked, and then he breaks out with 40. What did you make of what you saw from him last night?
Well, he looked very comfortable. I thought he scored in a variety of ways. He had mid-range. He had floaters. He had three-point shots. He had six assists. I mean, he played a very all-round game, and, you know, it's not like he wasn't playing poorly. It wasn't that he was playing poorly. It's just he hadn't been at the level I think that we had gotten accustomed to over the last 3 years.
Right, so knowing the player and knowing the way he goes after it, the way he gets his work in, did you have any concerns at all, or did you know it was just a matter of time before he found his rhythm?
No, it was just a matter of time. I mean, he has too big of a body of work, you know, just like Damian, where if they're not hitting stride, you know that they're going to break out because that's who they are. And I think every player goes through it at some point during the season. It's just, you know, CJ kind of hit his coming out of the gates.
We talked to Terry Stotts. Terry, you mentioned he hit a variety of shots, including that floater. One of the things that he said after the game was he thought that it was, quote, very disrespectful that the Bucks put a rookie on him. I mean, did you see that look in his eye last night that let you know that he took that personally and that something good was going to happen for him and for you?
I don't know about the look in his eye in that respect. However, I do know that he had a confidence about going at him one-on-one. I just, you know, he had a good game going, and then the fact that that there was a rookie on him, I think he probably did take it personal, but to me it was more he showed a confidence rather than a disdain.
I've got an entire take on that I'll do a little bit later on, but he was feeling it last night. He's always aggressive, but it just seemed like he even dialed it up even a notch more. Terry Stotts is joining us, but that's the risk you run if you put a rookie on a guy like that. Now, when you're facing the Bucks, Terry, that means you have to deal with Giannis defensively. What was your approach in defending him? And then how pleased were you with the way Evan Turner and Chief showed up against the Freak?
Well, I thought both of them made an outstanding effort throughout the game to make it difficult for him. And, you know, he had 11 baskets. I know he had either 8 or 9 dunks. So we tried to make him beat us from outside. I thought they did a nice job with their closeouts. They limited his drives. He didn't get much in transition. He had to work for the baskets that he did get, and that's all you can ask for against a great player. I mean, he's having an outstanding season, doing a little bit of everything, and he's so important to their team and their success. So I liked the way Evan and Chief took the challenge and didn't get down when he did score or when he did take advantage of any opportunities.
We're talking to Terry Stotts, the head coach of the Trailblazers. I mentioned the drought quickly. You're 8-3. And the last couple of seasons, maybe the team hasn't gotten out quite as fast as that, but you are right now. What's been the biggest key to the quick start this season?
Well, I think we made it a priority, not that we didn't years past, but, you know, the last 3 years we've gotten off to slow starts, and that was a priority coming into this season. But just on the court, I think Damian has been his normal self. I think probably the biggest story for us has been our second unit, led by Evan Turner. Nick Stauskas and Seth Curry have come in and had an impact, so I think they complement Evan and his skill set. Zach Collins has an expanded role, and he has improved and filled that role well. And, you know, it's just I think the confidence of our second unit has not only maintained leads, sometimes they've grown leads, sometimes they were instrumental in getting wins. So for me, that's probably the thing that stands out the most so far.
I'm glad you mentioned Zach Collins. You know, Terry, I had him on the show over the summer. I really enjoyed that conversation a lot. We're only 11 games in, but he's already doubled his scoring from last season. He's still just 20 years old. What's been the biggest difference in his game from last year to this year?
You know, I think it's just a confidence and an understanding. Last year, to be honest, we didn't project him to play as much as he did last year and have the role that he ended up having, being a rotation player on a playoff team. Now he's, because
Ed Davis is no longer with him. He's been able to expand his role. You know, he played the majority of his minutes with Ed, which I thought was beneficial to him in his rookie season. Now he's playing a little bit of five, a little bit of four, inside, outside. He's a very skilled player. He expects a lot of himself. He wants to get better. He has great defensive instincts. So, you know, it's just, I think the growth that he is having is only going to improve.
You know, looking at your roster, there's been consistency, especially with the main three, but you also added some shooters in the offseason, which is more valuable now than ever before in the NBA. In fact, how much has the league changed since when you were first an assistant? And then how much has it changed even in your time in Portland?
Well, going back to the 90s when it was a grinded out half-court game and 80 games in the 80s and 90s, it's changed considerably. You know, the defenses have changed, the style of play has changed. It's difficult to even compare the two generations. But I think you see even the change so notable from even last year. The pace has gone up. I don't know what percent, probably at least 10%. Three attempts have gone up almost geometrically, or what's, I can't think of the word, the mathematical word I'm
exponentially
thinking. Exponentially, there you go.
You know?
Anyway, it's the game has just evolved, and you look at a guy like Brook Lopez, who 2 years ago wasn't shooting threes. He and Marc Gasol, Brook Lopez was 6 for 10 from three last night, a guy who didn't shoot threes until 2 years ago. So, I mean, it's league-wide. Coaches, players have embraced the style. And to be honest, I think it's good for the game because it really accentuates talent.
And then in the West, Terry, the conference has been so nasty for so long. And then LeBron James arrives in the offseason. When you look at the conference this year in comparison to years past, how does the Western Conference stack up? Is it even tougher than it's been in recent years?
I think so, just because it is so deep. You look at the standings now, and there are teams that are projected to make the playoffs that are below 500 right now, and so they've gotten off to some slow starts. You look at a team like Sacramento that has gotten off to a good start, and it's deep. I think you're going to see a roller coaster up and down the standings at different points during the season because of not only how good the West is, but the parity in the West.
Terry Stotts joins us for another moment or so. Terry, last month, team owner Paul Allen passed away, and he's somebody who was an absolute titan in so many different ways. It can almost be overwhelming to even comprehend his impact on the entire world. What was he like as a person, and how was he with you?
You know, he loved the Blazers. I think that's the biggest thing. He loved the Blazers. He's a passionate fan of the game and the team for all 30 years they owned the team. When he was with me, you know, he had been through it all. He'd been to the finals. He'd been through rebuilds. He'd been through the good times and the bad times over the course of 30 years. But he never lost the passion for the game. He loved the draft. He loved the players. That was my biggest takeaway from him. You know, as far as me, the time that I spent with him, he was always, he was a guy who was always trying to find a better way, whether it was with basketball or in all his other endeavors, was trying to find a new idea, a new way of doing things. And he challenged me. He challenged Neil O'Shea as like, have we thought about doing this? Have we thought about doing this? What about he had a lot of questions, and they're all very insightful, to be honest.
Portland, 8-3 on the season. They're in second in the Northwest. 7 years as their head coach, 5 straight times in the postseason, and they're hosting the Clippers tomorrow night. Terry Stotts, good friend of the program. Terry, great to have you back. Always look forward to the conversation.
Thank you. I always enjoy being on your show.
You too, Terry. Have a great day. Do it again soon. Terry Stotts, Blazers out quickly, 8-3. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday. An exciting doubleheader. Tom Brady and the Pats take on the Tennessee Titans. Then you've got an NFC Western showdown between Seattle and the division-leading LA Rams. The action kicks off with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I'm pumped. In fact, I will be on the NFL on CBS the next 2 weeks. I'll be back this weekend in New York, and then I'll chase that with a back-to-back. All right, my thanks to Terry Stotts. We are open until the top of the hour. Robert Klemko comes in then. How about a phone call when we come back? Also, when we come back, I want to talk about the Mets. They hire an agent to be their GM. So far, so bad. CJ McCollum. I think Terry Stotts obviously was not going to call out an opponent, not going to call out a young player. CJ McCollum abused Dante DiVincenzo last night. I mean, it was hard to watch. Unless you like CJ and the Blazers, and then it was pretty funny. That's coming up in a minute, too. In fact, I want to do that next. I want to finish that thought. He was unbelievable last night, CJ. First up, though, here's a sports update for you. Jay Berman has this one.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Jim, the Saints signing free agent receiver Dez Bryant to a one-year deal. Meanwhile, Bruce Irvin has signed a one-year deal with the hometown Falcons. Eagles running back Darren Sproles and right tackle Lane Johnson will practice this week. They're expected to play against the Cowboys on Sunday. And speaking of the Cowboys, Sean Lee once again injured. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. Lee just can't get healthy. The 49ers will start quarterback Nick Mullins on Monday night against the Giants. The Jets announced that Sam Darnold has a boot on his right foot. He's in street clothes at practice today. Not sure if he'll play Sunday against the Bills. College football playoff rankings. Bama, Clemson, now Notre Dame at number 3. And Michigan, the first of the one-loss teams. They are number 4. The Wolverines, 8-1 on the season. Maryland landed its first commitment since September on Tuesday when wide receiver Dino Tomlin announced his commitment to the Terrapins. Tomlin is a 3-star receiver and the son of Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Listen to Ryder, the new at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. We'll rank the best teams in the NFL and we'll be joined by the Ringer's Mike Lombardi.
From Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong, like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic. 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. And Kurt Orban proved that in his test. Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure.
Kurt Orban.
Jim Rome podcast drops later on today. Right after the program, I'm going to have a conversation with the glove, Gary Payton, a Hall of Famer, an all-timer. Nobody like Gary Payton. I'm looking forward to that. Make sure you check that out. The Jim Rome podcast once a week. It drops on Wednesdays. He's going to be awesome. Haven't talked to him in a long time and really looking forward to that. Gary Payton dropping a little bit later on. It takes me back to Terry Stotts saying that the game has changed so much. You know, back to when Gary Payton played. I mean, different generations, totally different approach, totally different game. And then we talked about last night's game. Portland going up against a good Milwaukee Bucks team. And watching the Blazers and the Bucks last night. And I did, especially to get ready for Terry Stotts. A couple of things were very evident to me. Number one, CJ McCollum had it going. Number two, something was bothering CJ McCollum. Why don't we get to the second thing first? Because as the Celtics and the Nuggets showed us on Monday night, and Kyrie venting after that game, there is nothing better than a salty NBA star, especially this time of season. And last night, CJ McCollum was extremely salty. Not because a Bucks player tried to take a three when he should not have, but rather because a Bucks player tried to defend him when he should not have. Even if he was just trying to do his job. That Bucks player was Dante DiVincenzo. He was sent out there to guard CJ McCollum, and CJ was none too happy to see the big ragu guarding him. There was no love from CJ for the Michael Jordan of Delaware. McCollum said afterwards that seeing the Michael Jordan of Delaware guarding him was, quote, very disrespectful. It's very disrespectful, end quote. You can only imagine what was going through his mind when he saw the rookie walk over to him. McCollum met disrespect with disrespect. 40 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And I don't even know where to start. How about with this dunk in the first quarter?
Brogdon outside, intercepted by C.J. Longstride. Check in the rear view. And eases one up and over the cup with a two-hand jab on the run.
So he got it going early on. And then in the third quarter, he got really nice. He poured in 19. He did this.
C.J. goes to work. Fires over DiVincenzo and got it. C.J. McCollum has got it going on.
He did. And if you thought he had it going on after that shot, then he went next level at the end of the third quarter. If you have not seen or heard this clip, you should probably stop whatever it is you're doing right now because CJ is about to wreck the Rook.
And stayed off that rim. He was tied up. Hornswoggled, befuddled.
Hornswoggled, befuddled. Bamboozled, bewildered, flustered, dumbfounded, stupefied. Run it back again, Alvy.
Tied up, hornswoggled, befuddled.
Fatality, flawless victory. Ice, ibuprofen. I'm telling you, man, he just turned the big ragu's ankles into Bolognese. Double D was on an island, and then he got dump trucked. I have not seen anybody hit the deck that hard or that embarrassingly since James Harden put Wesley Johnson into traction.
Harden one-on-one here. Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone because there's a clean up on aisle three as a man is down.
Oh, no.
Someone call someone. Clean up on aisle three. There's a man down. There's a mess. I need a mop. Someone call someone. You better yet, somebody call Wesley Johnson. Check on him. It's been a while, but we need to get an update on him. I'm guessing he's still picking up pieces of his ankle bones. Wes should get in touch with Dante. They should form some sort of survivor group. In the meantime, CJ's teammate, Yusuf Nurkic, had some advice for the rookie. Quote, "Welcome to the league. It can be hard some nights. Put some ice on it and you'll be fine," end quote. Ragu should be fine. The problem is, I mean, he'll be fine, but that highlight is not going anywhere. That's the kind of a clip that can drive you right out of the league. There are a couple of lessons to be learned here. Number one, do not disrespect CJ McCollum. Number two, do not stick a rookie on CJ McCollum. Number three, if you disrespect CJ McCollum and you stick a rookie on him, that rookie is going to have burns and scars. They're going to last a long time, probably forever. I don't know how Dante was able to get up off that floor and walk after that. My ankles were wrecked just watching it. My pride was shattered just watching it, and nothing happened to me. When asked how it felt to drop somebody like that, CJ said, quote, "A nice feeling, but being able to make that shot after putting someone down is the toughest part. You have to make the shot," end quote. It's a good point. That's true. You can't split somebody in half like that and then dent the backboard with that shot. You got to finish him. And CJ did in the most ruthless fashion. Welcome to the association, kid. Now go grab a bag of ice.
Ice.
And a cup full of ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
For your ankles, your knees, your groin, whatever it takes. That was bad.
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
He was hornswoggled. Casey, New Hampshire tweets, "I was pleased to see that CJ was trying last night. Sincerely, Jennifer."
I'm trying, Jennifer.
I'm trying, Jennifer is still my favorite line of the NBA season. At Steve PHX tweets, "I felt very disrespected to be guarded by the guy wearing a watch and jean shorts last night at LA Fitness, signed at Le'Veon Bell."
Man's game, bitch.
He got hornswaggled. Have you seen the video of that play? I just ran it on CBS Sports Network a couple of times. If you've not, go find it. It's worth it. That was gruesome. But that'll happen to a rookie. Someone call someone. Got a problem on aisle three. Somebody, man down.
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
All right, listen, I'm open. What do you want to talk about? Breaking news this morning. Dez Bryant going to the Saints. Absolutely perfect spot for him. Could not be a better spot for him. Is he going to take advantage of it? If he can't take advantage of that situation, a team is playing that well with a Hall of Fame quarterback, great head coach, talent on the other side. They've got an unbelievable running backfield. I mean, Dez is perfect. Well, not better than $7 million for 3 years and $21 million overall with the Baltimore Ravens. Not better than that, but the next best thing. So if Dez is in any kind of shape and has any sense whatsoever, he will take advantage of that and try and parlay that into a payday. Perfect situation for him. At the top of the hour, top of the program, I mentioned Duke. Bad news, Duke haters. Really bad news. That team has never looked better. I mean, maybe they're better teams, but they've never looked better. And by that, I mean they look spectacular. They look transcendent. They look iconic. I'm talking about not only national championship good, they're that. Because if that's who they are and that's the way they show up, then you're not going to beat them. Nobody's going to beat them. Not if they're laying a beatdown like that on the second-ranked team in the country. And I know it's early. I just don't care. If that's who they are and that's how they show up, it's them and everybody else. But what I'm saying is what I saw from Duke last night, they're not just national championship good. They're bigger. They're better than that. I'm talking about iconic. I'm talking transcendent. I'm talking like the Fab Five. Fab Five never won a championship. Doesn't matter. One of the most iconic teams ever. Dear Romy, tell the Pidge that we are renting out the front unit here at our place on Marigold. He can live on the most exclusive street in the 949. I'll even knock $50 off the rent for him every month so he can buy four or five more of those hipster doofus shirts that he wears every day. Homie in Newport Beach, actually on Marigold in CDM. Holmes, I'm just going to ask this one more time, and I really don't even care. Why do you say you're in Newport Beach when ever since I've known you to email this show, you've lived in Corona Del Mar? Corona Del Mar is amazing. I know, I live there. And homie, the fact that I lived on that same street for 6 months that you currently live on, you've made that pretty clear too. So why do you say you're from Newport Beach? Hey, Adam, pick it up real quick. We don't have time to get into how you beat back the man and beat City Hall. How's that offer sound? How's it sound to you to have homie in Newport Beach as your landlord? Is that something you might be interested in?
Yeah, if he's got room for a soon-to-be family of four and a great cat, yeah, absolutely.
No, I don't think that's what he said. He said you can hang out in the front unit. I know that street. I know the homes on that street. They're not that big. He does not have room for a family of four and a cat.
Then I'm out, homie. Thank you, though. I appreciate it very much. I'm out, as they say on Shark Tank.
All right, so really quickly, so you beat back City Hall.
Sure did.
How did that feel and how did that go?
I'm not going to lie. It was the greatest moment of my life to get that email yesterday from the building.
No, you getting a call from me saying that you could work here was the greatest moment of your life.
That's true. This is a close second.
Okay.
The place we moved into 3 months ago was infested, unknowing to us. And that really drove me insane the last 90 days. And I took my fight to City Hall and to the health department and to fair housing. And after being beaten back many, many times, and like I said, after reading a lot of Teddy Roosevelt, that guy, same guy.
Tezzy?
A lot of Tezzy Roosevelt, man in the arena. I was very...
Tezzy,
the former president.
Man, are you dumb, Hawk? Tezzy.
I was very inspired.
I'd say that you misspoke, but I know you did, and you really thought that Teddy was Tezzy.
I don't remember now because I'm on the spot, but the guy who wrote Man in the Arena,
I know who he is, Hawk. You don't.
I was inspired, so I fought my fight.
Have you been reading up on Apricot Lincoln?
Great dude, that guy. So, yeah, I fought my fight, and they, you know, were desperately trying to get me to exhaust myself. I refused to be exhausted, and yesterday I got the greatest email in my life that they
are. Dude, you have amazing stamina. Cardio for days.
Thank you.
You're not going to exhaust yourself. So what did the email say?
The email said, we are letting you out of your lease at no penalty to you. You must sign this by Friday or else the offer expires. Come by the leasing office, sign this, and get the hell out in 30 days and never come back. And when I got back to my apartment yesterday after voting, because I'm a good citizen,
it's got nothing to do with anything, Hawk. Just stick to the freaking story.
I'd never felt better. I was like, I only have to step over these cockroaches for 30 more days. I only have to have them falling out of the ceiling for 30 more days. It was great.
So if that place was infested, when you looked at it, how did you not see cockroaches falling out of the ceiling?
If we're going to get really specific here, they were in the walls And, cool. You know, you don't see that in the walls. And, yeah, then they came out. And it was disgusting. And we have a kid in the house and a pregnant woman. And so, yeah, we're just like, we're out of here, man. And we won. And it was great.
Wow, dude, you're pretty sensitive, man. I mean, just roll with it. You've got a child and a pregnant wife and a couple of cockroaches. What's the big deal?
There was a point where I thought I was going to have to roll with it. I actually sent my wife a text message yesterday that said, we're defeated. It's over. This is never going to change. This is it. This is it for us. Let's just get used to it. Let's make it to June. And she agreed.
Way to turtle and roll over and give up the fight. Oh, she agreed. She's like, all right, I can live with this.
No, she didn't say she could live with it, but she agreed that we weren't going to win. She agreed that we were fighting a fight that we couldn't win. And I was close to saying, like, okay, I'm going to lose this fight.
And you threw that Hail Mary and somehow completed the pass, and here you are.
I think they realized you can't have a health hazard with a pregnant woman and a kid in the house, and they realized that this could have been bad for them, and they're letting
freaking
us out.
Freaking slumlords, good. I'm glad.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Way to fight that fight. Way to win that fight.
Thank you so much.
If you fight enough fights, Hawk, you'll win one. You'll win one.
It's a numbers game.
Now I know why your work was so crappy for the past 3 months, all right? So find a place to live. Get your head on right. And this time, man, look in the walls or do what you have to do. Do your due diligence.
Spot me another 30 days of bad work because I got to find a place.
Hawk, I don't have 30 more days to spot you. I've already spotted you 90 days of some of the worst work ever. I understand why you were a little rattled if there were cockroaches falling out of the ceiling and coming through the walls. But now you're out. At Willie Beeman one tweets, hey, Hawk, Calvin Cabbage was a great president. He can't laugh at guys he's never heard of. Hawk, name one president other than the current president. Go. Time's up. Robert Klemko joining me next. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk Browns football with him and some other NFL. Robert Klemko, top of the hour, and we're open after that. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Also, some hot stove action for you.